Introspection. 6 sessions. First, stillness for introspection. Second, listening within. Third, playing the game. Fourth, imagination. This is the session on imagination. I build upon the thoughts that come into my mind. My mind is a dynamic, powerful experience of beautiful thoughts, of beautiful ideas, of beautiful ways of looking at things. I am always so excited about life because there are so many wonderful things that are taking place in my world. And I am just having the time of my life doing everything that makes me happy. I build upon the thoughts that come into my mind. Now, I am the allness. I am the oneness. I think every thought that the universe is capable of thinking. This is what we all do. We think every thought that the universe is capable of thinking. However, we think the thoughts that have an interest to us. We think the thoughts that delight our particular funny bone. And what is your imagination bone, your funny bone? What is my imagination bone, my funny bone? Well, I like to take journeys into outer space. I like to go to the planet of unconditional love. I like to create around the universe, around the globe, around the infinite cosmos, all of the attitudes that make me a happy person. One of my students wrote a letter this evening saying that she didn't find life to be a tough experience, even though many people say that life is a tough experience. And I sent her a little picture graph that came from one of her other students, and the picture graph was about a cocoon and how this larva was coming out of the cocoon as a butterfly, and it was working its way out of the pupa and coming out slowly and struggling and struggling, and the hole was just too small for it. And so there was a man who was sitting for several hours watching the struggling creature and felt sorry for the creature, so took his scissors and opened up the hole a little bit so it could come out a little more easily. Well, the butterfly came out, but it came out not as a lovely butterfly, but a shriveled being. The man did not know that part of the program of coming out of the cocoon and the pressure on the area of its then to be wings was what made the wings sparkle into life. It was as though you had some little chemical inside. I remember when we were children, we used to have margarine, and we would take the little cubicle of yellowness, and we would squeeze it and mix it into the margarine to make the margarine look like butter. And without the little yellow thing, it would just look like lard or grease, a very unsatisfying and undesirable looking substance. And of course, the butterfly itself had within its wing area the little materials that were being squeezed out as it came through this tiny opening that it had for itself, and that was what would cause the wings to burst into their magnificent colors and burst into their wingedness and their ability to fly. And this poor little fellow that the man had helped came out as a shriveled, crippled individual. Something that was not a happy thing at all. We do this to ourselves. We don't realize that when we set in motion the ultimate of our imagination, that's part of our nature. When we set in motion the ultimate of our imagination, we set in motion the ability to dream, the ability to wonder, the ability to have magic take place in our thought. We begin to do the things on the earthly level that are kind of exciting, working with computers or working with anything else that we're working with. But we are talking here about working in imagination on the spiritual level, on a level far beyond the human level that is understandable and reasonable and something that we could expect to happen. We understand all about the butterfly and its need to come out of its little cocoon in such a manner that it would cause it to develop in its perfect and wonderful way. We understand that. We understand that the chicken has to peck, peck, peck away at the shell inside of the egg to build up its strength to come out, because that's part of its coming out. And it eats the food that's inside and does beautiful things. And when it comes out, it is a stout little chick, ready to do its wonderful thing. Now, when we come out of our awareness of introspection, listening to the divine within, have we touched the imagination that's there? Have we been aware of all of the magic that is awaiting for us to reveal in our life? Or have we just gone through the normal process of pecking away the shell and breaking it open and then coming out and doing our normal activity? You see, in our imagination, we learn that our thoughts are things. We learn that we can think anything we want to think, and it'll become a reality in our life, because it already is a reality. It already exists. We just have not revealed it to ourselves yet. So that sort of things would be called spiritual things. Of course, everything is called spiritual things. But what sort of things would we be speaking about in this particular moment? What sort of things would make us feel that we were illumined? Ah, there's a good word, isn't it? Illumined. In Jonathan Livingston Seagull, he saw Chang, who was on another planet and on another dimension of living, move from one area of the beach to the other area of the beach, which was quite a great distance, in just an instant. And Jonathan said, "How did you do that?" Now you see, he had first to have the opportunity to see the experience and then be illumined by it. And then he had to think, yes, he could do it too, but how does he go about doing it? And then the most unpredictable comment from his teacher, or Chang, was, "Jonathan, practice love. Practice love. What does love have to do with moving from one part of a beach to another part of a beach, hundreds and hundreds of feet apart?" Well, when we practice love, we unconditionally love ourselves, and we love everything in our world. And then, when we are unconditionally loving, we have no ability to say, "I can't do it." We have no ability to say, "It is something beyond my understanding. It is something beyond who I am." We have no ability to say that. And with no ability to say that, then what happens? Then we begin to look into it. We begin to check it over. We begin to practice it. And as we practice it, we find that far from being tedious and tough, it is exciting. It is illuminating. It is so revealing to us that we wonder why we didn't do it before. But that's part of the game. I build upon the thoughts that come into my mind. What thoughts come into our mind? What ideas come into our consciousness that make us feel, "Wow, this is really great stuff"? What sort of thoughts come into our mind to say that to us? Well, the thoughts that come into our mind to say that to us are the thoughts that are revealing all that already exists. When something is so natural, we don't think, "How do we do it?" We just think, "My goodness, let's do it." It comes so realistically to us, it comes so naturally to us that we just practice it and put it in motion. Now, are you ready to do such a thing? Are you ready to live in this field of imagination and begin to experience some of the magic that can take place in your life? Are you ready to know these things for yourself and love these things for yourself and really have a good time in doing them? Well, yes, you are ready. I am ready. And we do it all the time. We have this magic take place of the imagination of our mind and heart more often than we realize, because we just feel that it was a deja vu, as though we had seen it before, we had known it before, and we have. We have known magic many, many times. We have experienced magic many, many times, and we live magic all the time. I follow the what-if concept and wildly challenge my credibility. Now, my imagination says, "Hey, let's..." I remember one. It's very human. Back in the 70s, I I wanted to have, yes, it was back in the 70s, I wanted to have a computer that had all of the software already on it, on a chip inside of it, and so I didn't have to put the floppy disk in there every time I wanted to have the software to do my word writing or whatever it was that I was doing. And so I went into the Hyperion store, who sold the Hyperion lunchbox computer that I took with me all over the world, and I asked the people at the computer store, in the Hyperion store, how I could have that on there. And the clerk said to me, no way can you have it on there. I mean, that is just too far out. And I said, sir, I'd like to speak to your manager. And he said, well, here's the manager. So I spoke to the manager. And as I spoke to the manager, a man came up to him and said, I want to talk to you. And the manager says, be right with you. And said, but he was still in our midst. And then I told the manager I wanted to have my software on the computer, burned into the computer, so I wouldn't have to put it in and put it out all the time. And he says, no, that can't be done. And then the man standing there said, hey, that's what I'm doing now. I'm burning these programs onto computers for people who want to have them like that. And the manager said, wow, that's great. That's wonderful. And so the man burned it on for me. It took 3 nights for him to burn it on. It was very primitive programming at that time. But he burned it on. And so wherever I went in the world, I didn't have to put the software program in. I could just go directly on my floppy disk and put what I had written on it. And I was able to write my chapters. Each chapter had to be 10 pages or less, because the software, the floppy disk, would only hold programs of 10 pages for each before they ran out of space and had to go on to the next aspect of it. Now, you see, I knew it could be done. I believed. The imagination inside of me said, well, what if it can be done? It surely can. And it would challenge my credibility. And as I went to the store, I called many places first, and they told me it couldn't be done. But then I went to the store where they sold the machines, and lo and behold, I met the man who could and did do it. Now, so often we are pushed back. We are pushed away from the idea that we can accomplish something. So often we are told that it can't be done. Our credibility is at stake. And so our imagination sort of just goes into hiatus, goes into a restful state while nothing is being done. Now, this is true in so many areas even today. The day of Dick Tracy, remember the comic book detective, and he had a watch that he wore. And this was back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And the watch that he wore was a watch that had a television on it, it had a radio on it, it had a clock on it, it had a telephone on it, it had everything just like our modern day cellular phones have. But and the new phone that Bill Gates has and is promoting, which is a cell phone on a wristwatch. Now, it took all these years, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, 80 to 90, 90 to 100, that's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, it's almost 70 years for it to come into fruition. But the dream was there, the idea was there. Perhaps it had been manifest earlier and many more times, but now it is a common thing. People think nothing of it. It doesn't titillate the mind at all, because the what-if concept is, since it is, who sells it? You know, and the credibility is there, just who has it on the market? And so we look for these things, we search for these things, we listen to our mind, we listen to our imagination, and in our imagination we come up with all sorts of things. True, that is a physical human thing, but things like that are physical and human. Now, what if we wanted to say, I live eternally? Now that's a way out concept. I live eternally. Everybody's got to be born, everybody's got to die. How can we say we live eternally? How can we ever say we live eternally? Well, let's just take this point. I say, if we are ever experiencing a spiritual healing, we are healed of whatever it is that was bothering us, and it is a spiritual healing, and we don't remember that we had the illness or the problem. Our family do not remember that we ever had the problem. The hospitals and banks or whoever is involved, they don't remember that we had the problem. And so therefore, the spiritual healing is a healing where we never remember that we even had it. So, when you are seeking to reveal yourself, reveal things, children today cannot imagine a world without computers. Children today cannot imagine a world without television. Children today cannot imagine a world without cars. Children today cannot imagine a world without sinks, without refrigerators, without bathrooms, without lots of beautiful things. They can't imagine that. And they just imagine these getting better and better and better. Well, not today. To go back again to our human imagination, and the ability to have an automobile which engine would run for 1,000,000 miles, how about that, which could use a fluid that it could get like maybe 1,000 miles to a gallon. Now that's really something, isn't it? And the parts of the vehicle are made of such materials that they do not wear out in 100 years. You say, wow, what a magical, mythical imagination you have. That's really strange and way out. Well, now think of that. Let's go back to our spiritual healing. You don't know that you are living thousands of years. You don't know that you are moving between dimension and dimension, because you are spiritually illumined during these experiences, and it seems the most natural thing in the world. And so as you live forever, as you live eternally, which is what we are being taught we do, as we live eternally, we don't know that we live eternally. Well, what fun is it to live eternally if you don't know it? Well, if you want to know it, then you place that cause in motion too. But that gives you a great burden to know that you live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It gives you a great burden because you want to remember the past. You want to remember, this is that part of it, you want to remember yesterday, you want to remember your parents, and you want to remember your family, who are now long since gone or also with us too. But as we are living, we don't want to live in the same cycle of things that we did the first 20 years of our life, the first 100 years of our life, the first 1,000 years of our life. We want to live in all sorts of modern, fantastic, delightful cycles because they're charming to us. And we don't remember our previous experiences. We call them previous lifetimes. But they're previous experiences, like when we are spiritually healed, we don't remember we were sick. When we are living in perpetuity, we don't remember that there ever was a time we thought we didn't live forever. These are things of the imagination. They are absolutely magnificent. They boggle the mind. They boggle our attention. They make us wonder, what the heck is this all about? I realize this is a training session, and I put forth my best effort to live and listen within. And that's true. Working on our imagination, we come to realize that this is a training session. This is a session where we are living and working on our within. We are living and working on that divine center within us. And we do not need to know all these things, even though we do. We only choose to know those things which delight us. We only choose to know those momentary steps that we take on our spiritual path, on our divine path. And as we take these momentary steps, we have great enthusiasm for it. Now, as we listen to the divine within, as we listen to our introspective self, great ideas come to us. Great enthusiasm comes to us. You know, you watch a young person who is training on a musical instrument, and you watch him as perhaps he'd be training on a violin. And as he trains on the violin, he thinks he's rather stupid, he thinks he doesn't have any idea of how to do it, he thinks it's very difficult. But the teacher has been there, done that, and so the teacher continues with the student, and continues to irritate the student to do their best, and challenge the student to rise to heights that they cannot imagine at the moment. And as the teacher bears with the student again and again and again, and as the student practices again and again and again, the student achieves a certain skill that they didn't realize they had. But they did have it, they just need to reveal it. And as they reveal it, then they feel very good. And as the teacher's challenge is such that it's a glorious thing, then the student is blessed many times by the wonderful gift that it has given to itself of knowing what it always knew, how to play the violin. Can you do that? Can I do that? Of course, we're doing it all the time. We're doing it all the time as we follow the imagination that soars through our heart. We think about it now. My imagination is greater than I have ever known before. My imagination is greater than I have ever known before. How can my imagination be greater than I've ever known before? Because I don't realize what I've known before. And that's wonderful. I don't realize what I've known before. If we knew all the things that we knew before, and we were basing our life on that, then we would have a very busy and a very confusing life. You say, well, there's no trouble there. I wasn't there. I only came aboard here so many years ago when I was born. That's not true. You came aboard here so many years ago when your body was born, but you have been here all the time. You merely use these different vehicles to express yourself, as you would throw off an old coat or you'd buy a new car. So you're doing this for the body. And the better you take care of the body and love it and bless it, the more wonderful it is for you. But think about it. You have the capacity to have all the knowledge of the universe in your thought. You can read every book that was ever written. You can read every history, every textbook that ever was on tape or disc or paper. You can have every instructor who ever instructed, some of the good ones and some of the bad ones. You can have instructors of every kind to inspire you. But do you want that information on the tip of your tongue all the time? Can you imagine how exciting it would be if on the tip of your tongue you had every piece of information that ever existed in the universe? You'd be a boring person to be with. You would just be an encyclopedia. You've heard of that before. An encyclopedia is a very boring thing. Now, if you have interest in a topic and you pursue the research into that topic and know and understand the topic, then the topic becomes interesting. But even that, when you become the nitty-gritty of the topic, the little incidental things in the topic that are really of no interest to anybody, you become very boring too. And as you must leave that aside. You must set that aside so that that no longer is going to affect you. That no longer is going to be part of your world and part of the life that makes you feel so unhappy with yourself. We have to set things aside. And in setting them aside, we have to come to the realization that we know all. And as we know all, we reveal all. And as we reveal all, we reveal only that which we need to know. We've often used the phrase, tell only what is needed to be known. So you are going to tell your children your life story. And so you start out at a convenient location, the time you were born, this moment, and then you say how your birth had been so spectacular that the hospital burned down and you had to be evacuated, and you were evacuated by a helicopter to another hospital, and that you were a healthy baby, and so forth and so on. And, well, that sounds very fascinating. But why is it fascinating? Why does it have any part in the story? Did it make you into a better baby? We have a friend who, Stefan Stressley, and he was thousands or whatever, 10,000, 100,000 baby born in the hospital, and so they called him the prince. They said he's a royal born child. And so all of his life, he has carried with him this royalty. Now, he is indeed a very fine young man, a very outstanding young man, a young man that everyone feels a great affinity to, a great delight with. And what is that? Did that help him to be the kind of person he wants to be? Well, not really. Because sometimes when you have all the talent in the world and you're using it, a great deal of it, you do not apply yourself in the fields that would reveal your highest and your best. Now, if Stefan truly were a great violinist, and he didn't practice the violin or didn't play the violin or didn't perform on the violin, no one would know. And he could be the great Heifetz, he could be the great Yehuda Menuhin, he could be the great man or woman who plays a violin and is truly well known. But if he doesn't do that, no one will ever know. And this is how it is with us. We have all the talent in the universe in all the areas we want to do it, but we choose one or more that delight us, and then we move in that direction. And what direction is Stefan moving right now? He's moving in the direction of being a teacher. He's moving in the direction of being a sharer. When he first got out of school and went to work in the bank, he was a banker. Then he went to work in a school teaching underprivileged children, and he worked with them for a period of time. Then he started following his spiritual path. And he started attending the University of Healing programs and skilling himself in all that it had to offer. And now he's out in the field and he's in the process of being a teacher once again. And perhaps he will be a teacher or he is a minister. He will be whatever he'll be. But whatever he'll be, it will be fun and joyous. He will be developing an aspect of his imagination. He'll be developing an aspect of his creativity. Now, he could shine forth all of his creativity, but it would be a very misdirected program, because nobody is interested in a person who can do everything and does it exceptionally well. They feel intimidated by the presence of such a person and such an activity. And of course, we do too. So, where does that put us on the boat of imagination? My imagination is greater than I've ever known before. Within me is a drive to follow a certain path. And as I follow that path, my imagination guides me along the way. And I do it beautifully. And then, a new dream, a new vision, a new desire comes into my heart. A new imagination, sparking some new thought and new direction. And I let go of everything I did and follow that. Now, I could say my work in the real estate was one area of my life. My work in newspapers and magazines, publishing, editing, and writing for them. My work as a photojournalist was very wonderful. My work as a minister was wonderful. My goodness, Herb, you've done a lot of things. That's not the half of it. But the point is, each one of the things I did with my entire imagination, with my entire enjoyment, and I loved everything I did and everyone I came in contact with. And I had such a good time. I had such a rewarding and revealing time because everything was just flowing my way and I had fun being myself every day in every way. This is what imagination does for us. I build upon the thoughts that come into my mind. I follow the what-if concept and wildly challenge my credibility. I realize this is a training session, and I put forth my best effort to live and listen within. My imagination is greater than I have ever known before. And it is such a joy. and such fun to live in this awareness. I love you. I love you. I love you.